1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles this morning, great to see all of you. We're glad that you're here. And this morning we continue our study of looking at and thinking about having some family talks these days from 1 John. We've been talking about what it means for us to live life together with God and with one another. And so today we talk about family love. We talk about how we learn to love one another. And we're so glad all the boys and girls are here from third grade all the way through fifth grade. Shouldn't we give them all a hand? Yay, boys and girls. Boys and girls, if you always bring your Bible to church, and that'll help your parents remember to bring theirs. So everybody get your copy of God's Word, 1 John chapter 4. All right, remember, consignment sale is upon us. It's very important. Danette Spigner, her team, thank you to all of you who are part of that team. Sign up at the back, outside. We really still need some of you to volunteer. There's all kinds of times, all kinds of ways that you can be a part. Second thing is, remember tonight, for boys and girls, for students, choirs, start, and also all of our Disciple Life classes, and all of us who are part of First Baptist Church and the membership of this church, our first commitment is to help us all learn how to follow Jesus. It's on the top of this bulletin. This is our mission statement. And Disciple Life and all of our teachers, lots of people who've given their time to come and prepare. Be here tonight. You can see the copies of Disciple Life handouts outside, and make sure you're here with us. So, 1 John chapter 4, today we read together these very, very important words about loving each other in God's family. So let's read together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment, propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected or completed in us. So now, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love that You have demonstrated for us. May we be able this morning, in our own ability, at our own levels, to comprehend just a little bit about what it means to be loved by You, and then for us to understand our obligation to love the others, children of God, who are in Your family. So, Lord, today we talk about our love in this family. We know that we're to love the world, love our enemies, in Jesus' name. But today we think about loving our fellow family members and loving one another here at First Baptist Church. So teach us from Your Word today, and we thank You for all that You do for us. Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts now. Bring to our mind spiritual things that would help us fulfill and obey Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in many families, perhaps yours, like mine, when my relatives were doing all of our genealogy, looking at our family history and all the rest, our family on both sides, my mother's side and my father's side, we were told that our families have these coat of arms, they're called, coat of arms that describe your family. My mother's family's Dutch, Kirkendall, so the Kirkendall Dutch side of our family, they have their Kirkendall coat of arms, which goes back many centuries. And then you've got the Erskines and Millers on my father's side, which is Scottish, and they have their own set of coat of arms. So these coats of arms describe a family. You know, sometimes they'll have animals and they'll have other figures, and sometimes written in Latin words, what describes, they have like a family saying or family motto. Well, we actually have a coat of arms, those of us who are in the family of God. But our coat of arms really only has one word on it, and that word is love. So today we think about that which describes all that is to be said about following Jesus and being a follower of the Lord. That is learning to love other people. Today, I want to focus my comments with us on our church, on this family. This is a big family. Some of us come from big families, some of us come from little families. In a big family, you have a lot more drama, you have a lot more things that, you know, a little family can have drama too. But you have all kinds of experiences. So here we are, First Baptist Church, and we have all of these relationships that we have together. So what is it that our spiritual father, John, would want us to understand about living together with God and with each other? Well, you've read it with me this morning. So let me go back and do a review if you weren't with us last week. If you were, it'll still be good for you to hear it. 1 John chapter 3, if you turn back in your Bible, one chapter, we read these words. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God, and such we are. Now, boys and girls and adults, notice what the Bible says. See, look with your eyes. You see, when you love is something you can see. Love is not something in your mind, some idea. Love is something you see in action. It is something you see. So see, John says, John the Apostle, see how great, notice what it says, a love. Boys and girls, every word is important in the Bible, all the words. And when you're in school and you think reading's not good, you need to learn to read very well, because you always want to be able to read your Bible well. So see how great a love. Oh, the love of God is different from any other kind of love we've ever experienced or seen in this world. Most of the love we see in this world is conditional. The love of God, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. He's shown us an amazing kind of love. And we're named children of God. You are, if you're born again here today, a child of God. You are a child of God. So we are the loved ones of God. So you'll notice, that's why it's not unusual. All through 1 John, this little letter, we have John using this word, beloved. Beloved. So I want to use the same word because it's used twice today. Did you catch that in your Bible reading? In verse number 7 of chapter 4, he says, beloved. And then he says also in verse 11, beloved. So what does that mean? That means I'm looking around at a bunch of people for whom God the Father is in love with you. He loves you greatly. He loves you. You are beloved of God. And so some of us, we don't understand what it means to be loved. We're not used to that. But you are greatly loved by God. You are a loved one, a beloved one. You are loved so much by God. He cares about you. He understands your condition. He knows what you're going through. You are beloved. Whatever you may be facing, you are beloved by God. You are loved by God. So who am I as I stand before you? Who are you? If you've come to know Jesus, you are one. And you can say this, I am one who is loved by God. God loves me. God loves me. And so when you take that to heart, listen, that's important. Now, boys and girls, it's good to know that our moms and dads love us, but it's more important even than that to know that God loves you. God loves us the way we are. God loves us and starts with us where we are. We're not always doing well, not always doing the things we should do. So we are loved by God. See what great a love the Father has given you. You're called children of God. And because you're children of God, He looks out for you as His children. He cares for you. All right, so that's the first thing, but I want you to go on with me and read. Notice what else the verses say here. You're loved by God, but then in verses 7 and 8, we learn something else. We learn that God the Father shows us how we're to love. We love each other as we are loved by God. Now catch this. We love each other in this family as we are loved by God. So we have an example. Our Father gives us the example of how to love. So we say, Lord, how do I love people? And God says to us, love people like I have loved you. Now, look at the two verses here on the screen or in your Bible. Verses 7 and 8 are very important. Notice, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, catch this for a moment. I wish we could all read this in the original language. I wish I could make this come alive a little bit more, but here's the picture. Here's what's being said in the first few words of verse 7. Beloved ones, love others. And here's the idea. When you're loved, you love other people. It's not a stretch. It's not hard to do. When you really understand that you have been loved by God in the condition you are in, the way in which you live, that God loved you in spite of your sin and who you are and how you fell short of everything God wanted you to do. Beloved, love others. This is the picture. Here's the way I would say it. Beloved ones, love others. Beloved ones, loved others. Or loved people, love people. Loved people, love people. It's not a challenge for me to have to love somebody when I really comprehend the love with which I have been loved by God. And God still loves you. He didn't just love you one time. He continues to love you, my dear Christian friend. We are loved by God, and as those who are loved by God, we become lovers. We love other people. Beloved, love others. That's the idea. Loved people, love people. As I've said to you before as a church, forgiven people, forgive people. Forgiven people, forgive people. Loved people, love people. Loved people, love people. And everyone, look at the scripture, look at what it says, everyone who loves is born of God. So, Pastor Mike, how do I know if I'm really a Christian? Everyone who is born of God loves. Everyone who loves others in this agape love we're talking about, we're going to talk a little bit more about that love, what it means in just a moment. When you love like this, when you love with a God-like love, others in the family of God, you demonstrate that you've been changed. You're born again. And it says, everyone who loves like God loves others knows God. You see, love has an object. Those who do not love do not know God. Why? Because God is love. In His essence, in His being, at the core and heart of all that God has done. What did Jesus say at the beginning of His ministry? We've talked about this before. Red letter words. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes on Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So I love others as I've been loved. The badge, the coat of arms, the word that describes us is not a description of what denomination we're a part of. It's not a description of how much I know about the Bible. What marks the family of God is that we are a loving people and we love one another. Let us love one another because God is love. I have love for other people because I have been loved. So let's move a little further with this now. So what else does John tell us as we look at this passage? Well, a third thing he says and that I want you to see is that God, the Father, shows us, He demonstrates how love works. So if I'm in my family and my father wants me to do something, sometimes the father will say, let me show you how to do this. This is how you do it. Or a father will, you know, take a boy or a girl in the family with them to work, to show them what they do, or show them something that he wants them to do. He lives it out for them so that they'll know what to do. So God the Father has shown us how love works. But let me talk for just a brief moment about this word. This word, you read, did you notice how many times the word love is found in these verses? Love one another, verse 7. Love is from God. He who loves is born of God. The one who does not love does not know God. God is love. By this, the love of God is manifested in us. On and on. Love, love, love. Now listen to me. So what is love? Here's what I want to remind you. Love is not a gooey, warm, emotional, romantic kind of feeling. You know, like it's not a butterfly feeling that I know all the men here have for their wives sitting right next to them right now. You're having those butterflies right now in your heart and in your mind. It's not a gooey, sentimental emotionalism. The love of God, listen, is sacrificial acts. It's not a thought. It's not a theory. It's not a philosophy. It's not something in my mind. The love of God is sacrificial action, sacrificial deeds. Now, we got to get this understood. Because a lot of times people say to me in church, well, you know, I don't feel very close to that person. That doesn't mean you can't love them. It's not about how you feel. We got a lot of feeling stuff going on in church. I'm not feeling it, Pastor Mike. Or, I'm feeling it. Okay, well, take some antacid and you'll feel better after you take the antacid. It's not about the way you feel towards somebody. You look at somebody, I just don't, you know, I don't know if I like that person. Well, wait a minute. Well, hold on. We've been down this road. You know, John says that if you hate your brother, you're in the dark. You can't hate those who are part of the family of God. They're children of God who've been loved by the same one who loves you. God the Father shows us how to love. This is not sentimental emotionalism. This is not some sentimental feeling that you have. This is an action. Notice what God the Father did. By this, love is seen, demonstrated. How? God sent Jesus, His own Son, into the world that we might live through Him. Second way, in this is love. How? What is it? Not that we love God, He loved us. Loving other people is always initiated by me toward you. I don't wait. I initiate. God's love is always of an initiating, sacrificial kind. God gave His best for the worst. While we were, what does the Bible say? Paul says, for God demonstrated His love for us, when? While we were yet sinners at our worst, Christ died for us. Hear me this morning. Love has been given to you and me, not when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst. So when you're walking among God's children here at the church, and you determine, however you determine it, that some of them aren't quite as good as you, they're the worst, something's not right in their life, you've judged them, God gave His best for the worst. Demonstrate your love for those whom you've chosen to judge. Love them instead of judge them. By this we know God's love. We act with self-sacrificing love. We don't love with our words, hey, love you, bro, but we don't do anything about it. We give our best for the worst. Jesus brought this whole thing up another level. We're not going to talk about it today, but it is one of our other responsibilities as a follower of Jesus. It's a part of the reminder of our coat of arms is love. Because Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, love your enemies, not love your neighbor. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them. What? That's right. If we are children of God, we are to love our enemies. But certainly not in the family of God. Certainly not at First Baptist Church. You don't have enemies. Certainly you wouldn't even use that kind of language here in God's family to think that you have enemies. No, no, no. By this is the love of God manifested, that God sent His Son. He sent His Son. And by this we know there is love, because He loves us first. He initiates love. So let's go finally to the last thing. So how does this life of love work? So if we're to be known as God's children, and as God's children we're to love one another, that's what He's saying here. Look at this verse. Beloved, if God loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, again, this is my challenge. The language of this. Beginning in verse 7, we saw, beloved ones love other people. That's what He means. Beloved, let us love. But now He says, beloved, if God so loved us, now follow, we ought to love one another. There's an ought put in here. You know what that means? I'm looking at you, Pastor Mike, I have an obligation to love you. You have an obligation to love the family that assembles here at First Baptist Church. Well, I'm not liking all that they're doing. That's not what we're talking about. You deciding whether what they're doing is appropriate. As a part of this family, our obligation, because we have been so loved. You know what that means? That means this morning when I got up and I sat down to pray, I had to say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I had to say to the Lord, forgive me for some things that I've said, some things I've thought, some places I've gone that I shouldn't have gone. Forgive me of my sins. And because I asked Him to forgive me, you know why He was able to forgive me? Because He so loves me. He desires that my relationship be right with Him, that there not be a brokenness in my relationship. If God so loved us, by the way, that's plural, us right here. Us. This family, First Baptist Church, those of us who are born again in this place, who come here and this is our place. We have an obligation to love one another. So what are some acts of love? I wanted to bring it down and just illustrate it for a moment. Well, there are all kinds of ways to do it. Jesus described a story about a man who had been beaten up and left on the side of the road. And he tells the story that these religious leaders came by. They passed on the other side. They didn't have time to help this broken man who had been beaten and left to die on the side of the road. But one man stopped his journey, stopped his schedule, stopped his time, and took the time to help this broken, bleeding man. You know, Jesus told that story because a lawyer asked Him, who's my neighbor? You see, in this family, we have to take time for each other. We may be busy, we may be hurrying around, we may have things to do, but one thing that I appreciate about this church is the people of this church who love Jesus, who are born again, we take time. But you know what? We always need to take time. Someone's going to come across your schedule and it's going to be inconvenient. It's not going to happen when you want it. It's not going to come when you're ready for it and you've got extra time. No, but love expresses time. We tell our parenting people, our parents in parenting class, spend time with your kids. Time is an expression of God-like love. Give somebody your time. But what about attention? You know, back when I grew up, boys and girls, and I had four sisters, and they were younger, and I was older, and I have to say, Pastor Mike didn't always treat his sisters like he should have treated them. He didn't always do well. But sometimes when I would do that to my sisters, you know how they would treat me? They would ignore me. They acted like I didn't even exist. They pretended like I was invisible. They didn't even act like I was their brother anymore because they were mad at me. Did you know in church sometimes that happens? It happens in the family of God. Now we have a lot of aisles and halls and rooms and places around here. But you know what? It's important for us to understand that paying attention, kindly recognizing someone's presence means a lot. You're not going to know everybody's name at First Baptist Church. But you can kindly just pay attention to them. If you see somebody who has a need, stop. Help them. Ask them. Attention toward others rather than ignoring people. I hope that no one ever leaves our church feeling ignored when they've come here. I hope that they feel like that we have responded to them in love and we've recognized them and recognized their needs. What about being patient with each other? You know, the more you live together and you know, sit next to each other and listen to each other talk, we get annoyed because people... Look, some of us are telling the same stories. We've got to come up with some new material. You know what I'm saying? So you got to work on it. We get impatient. Sometimes people say things they shouldn't say. Sometimes they do things they shouldn't do. If we've been so loved by God, we ought to love other people. We have an obligation to love one another. As you look across this room today, as you look across this room, to a lot of faces and nameless people you don't know, you have an obligation to love those people. Giving to others. Helping others. Speaking to others. You know, speaking itself can be an act of love. Sometimes people just need somebody to say a kind word. Look, we don't want this place to be like it is at your job. We don't want this place to be like it is out in the country, out in this world. We want this place to be the place where God's children come. And we learn how to express our kindness and speak to one another in a helpful way. Well, I'm convinced today that this is why Jesus said to the disciples, By this, the world will know that you're my disciples. If you've read the entire Bible and memorized it. Is that what Jesus said? No. By this will the world, will all people know that you're my disciples. Some of you are shutting down on me. Don't shut down. Listen to me. This is important. Jesus said, by this shall all people know you're my disciples if you have, what is it, church? For who? For who? For one another. All right, I said to you last week, do it again today. This is going to be painful. Look around you for just a moment. Go ahead, turn. Look around you. Look around. You don't know everybody. Look around. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Listen, if you have love for one another. Time, attention, patience. What did Paul say? Love is patient, kind. Doesn't seek its own. Love doesn't seek its own. Love holds out, lingers long, waits. Love. That's what characterizes us as God's children. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we love one another. Thank you for listening this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer for just a second. Just as we finish, this is the most important time. After we hear God's Word, then we respond to God's Word. And so every week we give what is called a public invitation. And Pastor Mike invites people to come forward and publicly in front of all of these people tell other people that they want to follow Jesus. They want to follow Jesus as Lord of life and then follow Jesus in baptism and to join this church. So perhaps you're here this morning and you need to make one of those decisions. We want you to do that. So while we're bowing our heads from the balcony and below, if you're preparing and you want to come this morning, you'll need to take one of us by the hand, come down the aisle, one of the pastors will meet you here, and we'll talk to you about what you need to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you teach us that we're to love one another. It's not about how I feel about my fellow family members. But Lord, it's how I'm to respond because I'm born again like you have responded to me in sacrificial love. Showing sacrificial acts to my brothers and sisters in Jesus. So Lord, help us as a family. Help this sweet family, First Baptist Church, to be a family of people who love one another. So may we do our best, Lord, that you give us mercy and forgive us when we have not loved one another. But that you'd help us in the days ahead to demonstrate love as you have loved us. May we experience and share the same love with others that we've experienced in our own lives. Now, Lord, for those who need to come and make public decisions, we pray you'd give them the strength to do it and the courage. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand, please? If you need to come this morning, make a commitment to Jesus or to join this church, we're going to sing. And as Steve leads us and we sing, you come on.